Thank you for listening to this message from Hope Fellowship in Carrollton, Texas. We pray this message encourages you and impacts your life. Feel free to pass this MP3 along to your friends and family. And for more information, visit us on the web at hopedfw.com.
If you have your Bibles, I'm going to go quick, so I want you to listen quick today. And turn to Ezekiel 22:30. I also want to honor Becky Masden. She got on to me and said, I just want to thank her for the way that she preached a great message last week. A great, great message. If you haven't heard it, if you wasn't here last week, I encourage you to go online and listen to it. Great message of how to pray for family. Great message when she shared in such an intimate way about her own reconciliation power that God blessed her mother as they had a tough relationship and the way that she pressed through and prayed through and all of those different things. So I want to thank you, woman of God. So blessings, great treasures in this house, and I'm hoping that you're seeing it more and more every day, especially every Sunday that we come together. This is one of the greatest passages on prayer, if you will, about intercession. Many different books have been written about this particular book on intercession. Intercession meaning a prayer meeting, if you will, and I'm going to get into that quickly of the meeting of it. And well, anyway, let's read it, and then I want to pray, and then we're going to go for it. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. I'm going to read it again. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would impart my words with power and authority, Lord, that you would call each and every one of us individually and corporately, Lord, to being a people of prayer, Lord. We thank you for the honor and privilege, Lord, to bring forth your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, we love you and we give you praise, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. From the beginning of man in the Garden of Eden before the fall, man had the authority, dominion to bring forth the virtue of God's heart to the face of the earth. And the word gap is actually a separation that happens. It's a hole, if you will. We'll put it very easy terms. And so when, take that off if you don't mind now, please, thank you. So when Adam chose to not obey God in the garden, all of a sudden there was a huge gap that came to society, came to humanity. And now where you've heard different denominations talk about asking Jesus into your heart and filling that hole in your heart, there's a reality that there's this massive hole in society. There's this massive hole in humanity. And if you pay attention for 2 seconds to the news or 2 seconds in your own family, you see that there's a huge hole in the gap of humanity. And what God is saying here to an Ezekiel, he says, would you tell my bride in that day and time of Israel, I'm searching to and fro from somebody, for somebody that will stand in the gap of Israel, and I find no one that will stand in the gap on behalf of whom? On behalf of God. What a great indictment of the church in that day and time. But I look around of the landscape of the prayer journey going on in America, if you will. And in my own life, my busyness that I can get so caught up in that I'm not standing in the gap on behalf of God for the land that He's put me in. And you've heard me preach at Sojourn in here, we all have a land and a world that we're called to affect. And I really do believe it's time that we allow the Holy Spirit to convict us and to show us, am I standing in the gap in my land that God's called me to? And if you could imagine it like this, it's like standing in the gap where you hold the heart of God and you hear the very message of God, and with one hand and another hand is hanging on to the very people in your land. It would look like this. And it's the way that Christ carried his life, that he came on behalf of his Father and he said, Daddy, I'm going to be about your business. And every day, as it says in John 5, I'll go about doing and saying what I hear and see my Father saying and doing. You see it in the life of Moses when God one day, he's frustrated with Israel and he says, Moses, get away. I'm going to destroy all of Israel. I'm going to wipe them off of the face of the earth. And Moses had spent so much time with God that he had tasted and touched his mercy, that all of a sudden he grabbed hold of God's heart and he says, no, God, they're not my people, they're your people. And God, if you wipe them off of the face of the earth, they're going to be saying all over the face of the earth, you had power to bring them out of their bondage, but not enough power to bring them into their destiny. And all of a sudden, I should have used the cordless. It was looking like this that day. That Moses was hanging on to the heart of God and the children of Israel, of whom he had been called to bring out of bondage. And I would ask you today, have you defined your land and your world? And every day do you come, and I shared this 2 weeks ago, we owe our world an encounter with him every day. I was up here last night, and I don't share this to boast about myself. I know I need the anointing of God. I know I'm not gifted and talented without the manifest presence of God on my life. I hope that you're getting a revelation that you cannot affect your world with temporal value. You need eternal perspectives. You understand what I just shared there? Are you spending more of your time before the TV, before movies, blah, blah, blah? And I'm not saying any of that's bad. But am I coming before the living God every day to hear his perspective for you, for my wife, for my children, for my grandchildren that haven't even been born, but I still pray prayers for them already? The American church, including Mike Oran, I call myself the chief of sinner, of neglecting that mantle of prayer. I believe every situation that's going on in the face of the earth, that's going on in our families, our cities, could be changed if we would go back to that place of prayer. Just like even this morning, the presence of God was so strong as Lori and the team did worship. The ministry was strong. It's because people have sought the Lord through the week. What songs do you want me singing? What ministry do you want me to be doing? I would ask you today, if you're a member of Hope, this is part of your world, did you pray for this church service? I loved how Becky said that last week. She came out of a service in Baltimore, and correct me if I don't remember correctly, and she kind of said, well, that message really didn't do anything for me. I loved what her friend said. She said, yeah, but did you pray for that pastor this past week? Did you pray for me this past week that you would be ready to hear a message from God that would radically change your life? We have got to go back to the place of intimacy. There's something longing in my heart that I want to see hospitals emptied out. I want to see everyone who's in this body, again, infirmity-free zone and a generational curse-free zone. It's not going to happen when only the pastor's praying. And I appreciate your prayers. Please hear me. But I'm talking about it's time to really believe for our Metroplex to be radically transformed and have a great encounter with God. Who saw Father of Lights this past week? And Wendy Kay, we give you a great applause that you allowed us and reminded us to see it. Amazing, amazing. Normal, average people who go through the day and just hear God where God tells them to be. Are you leaning into God to hear what where he's telling you to be? He wants to speak to us, and he speaks to us 24/7. I just need to get my antenna up better to hear him. When we sang that one song, I love the word in that. Do we when it talks about, I don't know if this is the way it was worded, this way I wrote it down. Do we really hear the longing of every heart? Did you know in your world, your family members, God wants you to reveal to you the longing of their heart? What I mean by that, they have a heartache, they have a cry, a disappointment, a piece of ash, if you will, as it says out of Isaiah 61, God turns beauty. Unusual, he brings beauty from ash. Do I really want to hear the ash cry of people that's in my garden, that's in my world? Do you really want to hear that ash cry? What caused that ash to come forth, that brokenness, that woundedness? And do I really care enough to get that time with God, hear his heart cry and the strategies to bring forth the beauty from those ashes? Amen? Come on, man. This is good. I believe God's calling us. I believe that there's a cry of God to come back to the mantle of prayer, the mantle of intimacy, that I believe we're going to rock and roll the world with the greatness of God as we come back to that place that sons and daughters are to call back to come back to. Let's pray real quick. I just want to pray one more time. Well, Father, I do just ask that you would continue to help me navigate, Lord, that we would come back to that place of prayer. Lord, not out of some discipline, rote way, but that we truly want to know the longing of your heart. We truly want to know the longing of our neighbor to the left and the right. We truly want to know the longing of people that we work with every day. And we thank you for your greatness and your goodness. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the word intercession and intercessor is used a few times in the Old Testament. And it's a word called paga that talks about bringing a meeting. It's really strange when you think about it. And I love how Dutch Sheets puts it in his book, prayer meetings are rightly named. Because the word meeting, the word paga, is the word meeting. And it's like the demonstration, I can't do it any better, of where you have a meeting with God in your prayer time and a meeting crying out on behalf of your world and your land. I look at what's going on in our nation, and I'm telling you, anything and everything that's being decreed from Washington, D.C. in this season and times past can be radically transformed if the church would go back to her rightful place of destiny and royalty of praying heaven to earth. So in this prayer meeting of where you're spending time with God, can you imagine Moses that day in Exodus 34 when he says, God, I've seen a lot of things, but I want to see your glory. And in that meeting with God that day that Moses, God tells him, he says, okay, I'm going to show you the backside of my glory tomorrow. And he sits him in the cleft of a rock. And in that day, as the glory, the backside of God's glory, his presence went before Moses, all of a sudden he encountered God, that he started crying out, oh God, you're a God of great compassion. You're a God of great long suffering. You're a God of great mercy who wants to bless to 1,000 generations. These are the way the men and women of God in the Bible carried their lives. They wanted to get before God every day and spend time with him and encounter his glory. And you think about it, Hebrews says that we have a better covenant than Moses. Now I've been set on top of the rock in his resurrection life, that you and I can behold the glory of God every day. In this moment of Exodus 34, it was limited to the ability of Moses to encounter the glory of God. I don't want to get to heaven one day and an indictment. Again, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but the indictment being that Moses, far worse covenant that I have today, that he saw more of the glory of God than I did. That in my times, that I'm not given compassion every day because I'm encountering God. I'm not given graciousness every day because I'm lacking that time of encountering him. The church, in my opinion, when I read that story in Exodus 34, we ought to be the most gracious people. Can I tell you, Philippians says that when I'm gracious, it reveals that God is at hand. You want a manifestation of God in your neighborhood? Be gracious. I'm just quoting you scripture. We ought to be the most thankful people on the face of the earth instead of mumbling and complaining about one another. This is what happens. There's a deposit and a transfer that happens when I spend time with God. That all of a sudden, I become more in the image of him. And then when I'm becoming more in the image of Him, I'm giving away that grace. I'm giving away that peace. It's just a natural flow. Can I tell you, the river of God, it's a natural flow. Amen? Turn your Bible to Matthew 9. This one particular day, Jesus has gone on a journey, and turn to verse 35, and we'll get to that here in a moment. This particular day, Jesus has gone on a journey, and men are being healed. Two blind men are healed earlier. Girl is restored to life, and a woman is healed. And you ought to read the entire chapter of Matthew 9. It's an incredible day. A mute man begins to speak, and Jesus was a man. If you read the Gospels, He spent time with His Father. Sometimes He was up all night. And then He would have a busy day, because humanity, the longing of humanity, just like that song that we sang, Jesus wanted to hear the longing of His Father's heart and the longing and the heart cries of the world that God had put Him in. And I know every miracle that's needed is in us as earthen treasures of God for society. Here's where we're neglecting the power from being made manifest. It's time with the Father. Because you see, I look at my life, and when I don't spend time with God, guess what? I'm not humble, I'm arrogant. And God protects me, because if He gave me the anointing that was on Jesus when I'm arrogant, it's going to be ugly. Because I'll be touting my own self and be touting the church that we're about. You see, when I spend time with Him, I'm gracious, I'm merciful, I'm compassionate. Exactly the story that I read about Moses, but we live in a better covenant, and God wants to give us the fullness of His kingdom. So in this story, we come to verse 35, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to make a few comments and go a little deeper, I hope. Then Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I believe one of the things that you've got to have to see the kingdom of God come to earth as it is in heaven is compassion. There's at least five distinct times in the Gospels that it talks about how Jesus was moved with compassion. And it talks about when He was moved with compassion, it caused five different miracles recorded in Scripture where it manifested as Jesus was moved with compassion. I can't force myself to get moved with compassion. I can stir up the flesh to be moved with sympathy. Sympathy will never bring forth the powerful power of God's working miracles, but compassion does. I can only get compassion in one way, and that's from spending time with God. No other way. Yeah, I can get in a prayer line and take somebody else's impartation, but if I don't take time to get before God every day, I'm going to lack sustaining that compassion. I believe too many of us have built our journey with God on a prayer line, and if you've seen me from 1994, I'm huge on prayer lines. But if you're building your Christian walk on getting prayer on Sunday mornings or on prayer lines, those things run out. Because God is a God of stewardship, and He will, just like what He says in the Bible, He says, if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, I will take from you and give it to someone who's doing what I'm telling him to do. I believe that we're stepping into a prophetic season that God is going to get even bigger and greater of stewardship. And if you're going to obey Him, He's going to take from the sons and daughters that aren't doing everything He's telling you to do, and He's going to give it away. Because it's a time that the presence and the manifestation and the authority of God has to be released in this prophetic season across the face of the earth. Today, if you're not doing what God's been telling you to do with your spiritual life, with your physical life, with your emotional life, with all the different things, I encourage you to repent today before it's over. because I believe that the graciousness and great, and God always stays gracious, but He is looking for a people that He could give His presence to for a move of God on the face of the earth. If you did see the Father of Lights the other day, those people are being used by God because they're doing extraordinary, obedient acts of love. Amen? Don't get too excited about it. I believe if we're really going to be used by God, we've got to become the most thankful people on the face of the earth. I believe that there needs to be 24/7 thankfulness come out of our lives. Here's an unusual miracle for you. Paul and Silas were so thankful that a young girl was delivered earlier that day in Acts 16 that it's caused God to start a little dance with them in heaven. That an earthquake happened to a jail cell and all the prisoners stayed in the jail cell. But here's the unusual thing. If we will go to a place of thankfulness with God, I believe we're going to see entire households get saved. Because the jailer came running in thinking that all the prisoners were gone and he was going to kill himself. And then Paul says, no, man, we're all here. And the jailer as an entire household got saved. I believe it's a time of geographic, big-time deposit where entire households, entire people groups get saved if the church will get to a place of great thankfulness. Amen? I believe as we walk in humility and hunger, humility releases the fullness of God's heaven throne to the face of the earth. I believe we need to start asking the Holy Spirit to start showing us areas of our life that we're arrogant in. And start coming to a place of great humility. And out of humility will birth hunger. I believe off the charts hunger. Because when I'm humble, I'm telling God that my total dependence is upon Him. Amen? I'm going to share with you what bursts my heart in the area of prayer. And that's compassion. When I get before God every day in worship and prayer, He moves my heart with compassion. I don't know if you remember this a year ago. It's hard to believe it's been a year where the two real horrible bad clubs were on Harry Hines Boulevard. Remember that? Where one of the clubs was for 17-year-old to roughly 26 years old, just 6 miles away, gang. Our land. Called to. One clubs was a swinger clubs, and I reread the articles this past week as I was getting ready to share about standing in the gap. There's a huge gap on Harry Hines Boulevard. And in the one was a swingers club where husbands and wives and parents explain these things to your children, where they were going down there to swap with one another. And it's unbelievable the filth, the pornography, and the stuff that was being shown on the TV walls, just 6.6 miles from here. And when I read it, when I read the story about the 17 and 24, 26-year-olds that were part of this one club, and read the story of how in these cages, 15-year-old girls were in these cages dancing with almost nothing on. And when I read that story in the paper, and I encourage you to press in, because for me, I get moved with compassion when I read and I look at the news, and it moves my heart to activate in compassion and to pray. And as I read this, I thought of my own daughters. What if that was them in those cages? What if it was your daughter? And when I read this a year ago, I broke and started crying and started praying and interceding that God would shut down this unrighteous place. Now again, maybe that's not your land, but you have a land that there's some unrighteous things going on. And as I prayed and I shared it with the church, and I know some of us went down to the actual sites of the building complexes and we prayed that they would be shut down. I was looking at the stories. They were shut down within 3 weeks. And as I looked at the stories of the owner, I prayed for the owner this week. I don't want him to just go away without not knowing God. I want you to start learning to allow the Spirit of God to start teaching you that wave of compassion. He brings forth a move in our spirit for compassion, for healings and miracles, or he breathes that level of his spirit that moves me to compassion to pray for employees that are lost or employees that need an encounter with him. Have you learned to start knowing that move of compassion in your spirit? As I prayed for those girls this past week, again, as I reread the articles, I'll probably never ever meet a single one of those girls. But I'm praying that God restores and heals their heart. Heals their life of that season of their life. And I believe the church, God's trying to wake the church up to start praying over our land. He's searching to and fro for those people that will stand into a broken wall of society and humanity and stand and pray his love to people. Stand and pray the very covenant stripes of Jesus' healing for those that are sick and hurting. I think of my wife who, every time we have a Friday men's meeting, her and Bridget go down to Harry Hines and visit the places that they've adopted, if you will, and pray for those ladies. It's been really wild when I want to kick back, and I'm just being honest with you sometimes, or I'm honest with you all the times. But there was a couple of Sundays ago, I just been a long day. I just wanted to sit in front of the tube and unwind for a moment. Some of these girls have started calling Celia that are working these places. Because you see, Celia and Bridget are extending them that wall of God's heart into the whole of their heart. And these girls are calling, going, "Hey, you would really bring us coffee? Yeah, what do you want?" And so there's probably been two times over the last 3 or 4 weeks, this one particular girl in general, who's even sat and talked to Celia now. I sit outside in the car, guys, and as Celia sits in there and talks and ministers to the ladies, and the ladies even ask Celia to help her in this one area of her life, of a physical issue. You know, gang, it's time to hear, really have a desire to hear the longing heart of the people in our world. Because you see, then God moves compassion to release healings and miracles. I'm proud of my wife and Bridget and others who have gone down there to pray over these precious ladies. I want to invite you today that after it rains in all of our cities this afternoon, praying and believing it's going to, I want to invite you to take a little walk around your neighborhood. Just a 5-minute walk. And I want you to walk by your neighbors and just speak a blessing of God's love upon them. David's over here going, "Do I really have to walk? Can I not do that from my living room?" No, take a little walk journey. After it rains, and if your city gets skipped over the rain that's coming this afternoon, I still want to invite you to go do it. Just walk by that house, 1719, 1721, whatever the address may be, and say, "God, would you release your spirit of love into that place?" And here down the road, might even happen today, if God moves upon your heart to go knock on the door and say, "Do you need any prayer requests?" I know this sounds crazy. Just walking by and just felt like you might need prayer for something. God just wants you to know He loves you. And is there anything I can pray for you about? It's time that the church comes out of its little protective cocoon that's been called religion, and comes out because we have the answer of every broken wall in humanity. Amen? As I read these stories this last week about that, I was amazed at God's power. The enemy tries to open up a gate of unrighteousness. Jesus said in Matthew 16 that the gates of hell will not prevail. You're the gate to go and shut the gates of hell down into our cities. You have every bit of authority, and that authority is gained with compassion, humility, thankfulness, and out of all those will birth a life of great hunger. Amen? If you will, stand real quick. I want you to, from your heart, if you have your spouse with them, I want you to pray a blessing over your city. You can pray it out loud, whatever you want to do. Pray a blessing over your city, your workplace. Just ask God to pour out His love. Whatever He puts upon your heart, pray it. Just ask a blessing upon them. Go for it. Just do it for about 30 minutes. Kidding. Two. Father, we do thank You for Your great love and Your mercy. God, we thank You that through our prayers, just what You met at the cross, when in the spirit realm at the cross, You hung on to Your Father's heart, that as Scripture says, My desire is that none would perish. Now, the side of the cross, You hung on to mankind, and so that mercy could truly meet judgment. Righteousness could truly meet sin. Light met darkness that day. Humility met pride. Love met hate. And life met death. And I thank You, Lord, that when we pray every day for the different lands that we're part of, as we pray for one another, that we would have encountered the merciful One and it would meet that judgment. We would encounter the One of great righteousness that would meet that sin and dismantle it. That our prayers of light would meet that darkness and destroy it. That love would truly meet that hate that can be in our cities. So Lord, we thank You for the honor and privilege to be that one that would stand in the gap and release the wall of the revelation of Your greatness. Lord, we love You and we give You praise, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.